What could possibly be more exciting than this? It is, in fact, Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And you are, in fact, listening to us on WHAM 1180. And we'll be taking your calls at the numbers we've already given, 222-1180 in the 585 area code. If you're outside the 585 area code, it's 800-295-1180. And if you're a Verizon Wireless customer, well, it's simply star 1180.
Couldn't be simpler.
Could not be simpler. It's all that 1180 business. So we'll be taking your call shortly, but before we do that, we will go to the news, and I think we'll start with the Apple news this week.
Apple has been fanning the rumor mill themselves, which is actually quite interesting for a company to actually even acknowledge a rumor site in the first place. But Apple's main homepage for the last week has been updated every day with a countdown to Macworld. The keynote starts Monday at noon Eastern, and they've had some pretty neat taglines, and one of the most interesting one was Macworld, beyond the rumor sites, way beyond. Today's, of course, is full speed ahead, lust factor 10.
So only the Mac folks would do that,
A couple of days ago, they had, it's like a backstage pass to the future. So the rumors are flying even more about what might be coming out, fanciful things of artificial intelligence and things like that. Some of the more concrete rumors, if there can be such a thing, are a monitor bigger than the current 22-inch cinema display. Some rumors are a 35-inch display, which is even bigger than an HDTV.
Okay, I do hate that you guys have the best stereo on Earth.
Really sweet. Also rumors about going to dual processing processors in all of the Power Mac line to, again, take advantage of OS X. And, of course, the biggest rumor is the flat-screen iMac. There's also been rumors speculating that Apple's going to come out with a Apple-branded Palm-type PDA. The current rumor is calling it the iWalk. However, the spine...
That's W-A-L-K, not W-O-K,
yeah.
Which would be an entirely different product.
Yep. The site that's posting that one, SpyMac, is actually known for coming out with some very fanciful designs out of their own imagination, apparently, because nothing they have ever forecasted.
Fanciful
designs.
These Mac terms are unbelievable.
Well, Apple actually hired away most of the engineers from Frog Design in England, which had won hundreds of industry awards, and brought them in-house for designing the latest generations of Macs. So Monday noon, Apple is broadcasting the keynote on QuickTime Live, so you can watch on the Internet.
Great. And now that Steve's taken up all our time, we'll
go... Yeah, really.
Well, there is no other news.
Yeah, right.
In your dreams. I'm going to quick respond to a couple emails in the news. A lot of folks have been having a lot of issues upgrading from Windows 98 up to XP. Like we've said before, folks, the best way you want to do it is make sure when you put that CD in is to make sure there is nothing running in your toolbar. Because if you've got the antivirus software running in Quick Player and all this other stuff, it messes Windows and XP install. So go ahead, get Windows 98 up and running, and make sure everything that you can possibly shut down in that toolbar is turned off so that when you put the CD in, it's not going to sit there and try to shut things down, because some programs, to shut them down, they want to restart the machine, and that kind of defeats the purpose. So first get all those tasks done. The other thing that I wanted to talk about was another young lady tried to get to XP, and she's been getting the runaround, and I've been emailing her back and forth, and hopefully she's listening, because she says her and her parents are very loyal listeners, and we've always told them, go locally. Don't judge that one person, that you've been getting the runaround from. Go ahead, get the issue resolved. Go to Windows 98. Like I said in the past, it's very stable. The SE version, you should have very few problems, especially with a lot of different equipment that's out there. XP just doesn't have a lot of the drivers out there. Oh, by the way, Windows even forgot to put the mouse and keyboard drivers for their own products
on
it.
I think they'd have learned after the fiasco with ME.
Well, don't even go.
I think they would have learned after the fiasco with DOS 3.
All right. And for those of you who are using any of the file sharing programs, Grokster, LimeWire, or Kazaa, each of those seems to contain a Trojan horse that is spyware. It's a little lottery game called Click Till You Win. And if you run this, it's spyware, and it starts figuring out where you're going and sending that information back to their company. LimeWire and Grokster have both apologized, and have new versions of their software on their site that doesn't include the click till you win Trojan. I don't know about Kazaa, I'm afraid. K-A-Z-A-A. I don't know about that one. But both of the other two have new versions. So if you were running either Grokster or LimeWire, go get the latest version from their website to get and it will also tell you how to get rid of the Trojan. And now we're going to go to the phones. We'll start with Bill from Rochester. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Good afternoon, you guys. I got my first computer last year with an antivirus software program.
Yep.
And for 3 months, every now and then I would get a pop-up saying, you know, update your antivirus software.
Right. Mm-hmm.
At the end of the 3 months, it said, you're done. Either you can subscribe and pay for the updates or download the free definitions.
Right. A couple of issues happen. When you buy antivirus software in a commercial retail box, most of the time you get a one-year license for the virus updates, and then they want you to resubscribe. When antivirus software is bundled with your computer, you typically get 30 days, maybe 90 days, to try out the software, and then you're expected to subscribe to it again. So it depends on the manufacturer of your computer as to which license they included with the bundled software.
The thing that is, though, is, you know, you like they said, you can go up and get the DAT files, but that's all you're getting. You're not getting any updates to the engine,
which makes it run faster and can and fixes problems that engines may have.
Yeah, and resolve issues. So it's you know, cheap insurance to buy for your machine. Mm-hmm. You'll hear us regularly, at least once or twice a show, telling folks that they've got to go in, get an update, get the current product, whether it's McAfee, Norton, Inoculant, any of them. Stay current, and it's money well spent.
So that's the best way to go. Just
you got it.
Subscribe.
Updating a couple of times a week isn't too much.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okie doke.
Good luck.
Thanks for the advice.
Thanks so much, Bill. Our next caller is Joe from Greece. Welcome, Joe. What's your question?
Hi. Good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
I've got a couple of questions. First one, I was online, and this happened twice today. I had just gone online, and everything went black. The only thing I had was a black screen with a little cursor over in the top left-hand corner. And I had to reboot it in order to come up.
And you're running what antivirus software?
I'm sorry. I'm running Norton antivirus.
And what version of Windows?
98.
Okay. Did this happen when you went online or when you went to a website?
I was already online. I think I was going into a... I don't remember whether I was going into mail or whether I was going to a website.
Okay, hold on, Joe. Stay on the line.
Okay.
We're going to cut to a commercial, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Joe from Greece, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. And we're talking to Joe from Greece. Welcome back, Joe.
Okay.
Okay, so you're not sure, but you were already online, so it's not your connection to the Internet that's causing this problem.
Right.
So it's either something to do with your email or something to do with the home page you go to when you bring up your browser.
That's fine.
How much memory do you have in your machine?
I have no idea.
Okay. When did this start happening? What changed?
I've noticed it, a few times months ago. But as I said, today it just happened twice in a row, just this morning. Mm-hmm. It's a sporadic type thing.
One thing you might want to check is what your home page is.
I just changed that to MSNBC. I think that's the one.
Okay.
That can be a problem. That in itself can be a problem. There's a lot of JavaScript on that page, and there's a lot of big pictures on that page.
And what version are you using, Netscape or Internet Explorer?
Explorer.
Internet Explorer?
Yeah.
And what version?
5.0 or 6.0. I think it's 6.0.
Okay. Well, you want to make sure, because if it's 5.0 had many features in it that weren't very appealing. But you might want to go to 6 and make sure you've got all the updates for 6.
Yeah, check the Windows Update command from your Start menu, and it will go to Microsoft's website and download any patches.
Part of the problem is that when you go to any of these pages that have a lot of JavaScript, if you don't have a lot of memory, and 64 meg is not a lot of memory,
peanuts,
or you don't have the latest updates, the machine can crash, which means you can wander around the Internet for hours until you hit a page with a big JavaScript on it.
Okay.
And that could easily be your problem.
I think that I don't have much memory. I've got a Compaq 5340, and it's pretty basic machine.
Yeah. If you write,
how long have you had the machine?
I got it 99 or 2000, right?
Probably like 32 meg.
Yeah, if you right-click on my computer and choose Properties, it will tell you how much memory you have.
And if it's less than 128 meg of RAM, you need to buy more RAM now before the prices go up even
further. It's already starting to go up.
I'd say 90 megabyte of RAM.
That's not enough.
Okay.
I get a little more. Yeah, like you said, memory is cheap right now. Get it while you can, because the price, we're already seeing it creep up.
Yeah. Okie doke.
Okay. One other question, if I could.
Sure.
I went out to mail, again, Microsoft Mail, and Outlook Express, and everything was gone from my inbox. It brought up two new pieces that came in today, but everything else, we must have had about the 8 or 10 pieces in there.
There's a preference in Outlook to only view unread messages, and a lot of people actually turn that on, or accidentally turn that on. So all the messages you've already read are still there, they're just not being viewed.
I looked at that, and the dot opposite view all messages was selected.
The opposite view all?
Yeah, so opposite. So view all messages was selected.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I called my internet provider and asked them about it, and they said,
now, you
try
said
that.
You're running Norton, though, right?
Pardon?
You're running Norton?
Norton, yeah.
And you've got the latest DAT file?
I believe so. I go out weekly and update the automatic
update. You might want to verify that, though, because... you know, you can start up the Norton, and it'll tell you what the date is on your DAT files, you know, the version that you're using. You want to make sure that you're running the current one. Because we just happened to stumble on one yesterday that it's a brand-new virus out, just came out 2 days ago, and luckily, because we stayed up with it, which we have to, boom, it was there.
But it sounds, it could be... Now, do you know if you download your mail from your internet service provider, or if you leave it up there until you're ready to read it?
I believe I downloaded. I'm not sure of the terminology.
Okay.
But
well, there it's POP3 or IMAP are the two choices.
I think I'm POP3.
Okay, that's the one where you download the mail and it's on your machine. So it is possible, as Steve said, that there's something in your machine that's... Without sitting at it, it's hard to say, but it certainly is possible that you're not viewing all your mail. It is also possible that it is simply gone. If there is some sort of new virus on your system that's causing problems, it could have damaged that file, and Outlook Express would recreate it, but it would now be new.
Do you have anyone else in your household using the computer that might have accidentally deleted it?
Well, that's what they asked me at the ISP, or APS. The only other one that uses it is my wife, and as I said, we have the automatic upgrade for the virus. I have it set so that it goes out every Monday and Friday at 11 o'clock, and she went, got up in the middle of the night and came in and just shut the machine down. That's the only thing she did. But previous to that, during the day yesterday, our inbox was full, and everything was working fine.
You might want to go back and check the view menu and try selecting and reselecting
might
the view all, view flagged, and view unread, and try some of those different options, and maybe there's something else hiding in there.
Okay.
That's the best we can give you at this point. I am sorry. Our next caller, Dave from Rochester. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I just migrated to Outlook from Outlook Express because my PDA was not compatible with Outlook Express or needed to sync with Outlook. So now when I send messages to other Outlook users, they can receive my attachments.
Okay.
If I send messages to an Outlook Express user, they cannot receive my attachments.
What do they get?
They get nothing, as far as I know. And even... I got an IT guy at work, and I have a laptop, and he can't even figure it out.
Well, Well, typically what happens is in your email program, you have to tell attachments how to be encoded for transmission through the mail. The receiver at the other end has to have the same method to decode that back again. It may be that somehow you've got your Outlook set to an odd format. The most common formats are Base64 and UU Encode and BinHex. Typically, Base64 or MIME is used under Windows. UU Encode is used under Unix, and BinHex is used on the Mac. But pretty much every email program can use any one or all of them. So you might want to check in your Outlook preferences how you're encoding your attachments, and maybe the receiver at the other end needs to have a different encoding method.
But of the other Outlook users I send them to, they can receive my attachments without a problem. Yeah.
What version of Outlook are you using?
Oh, it's Windows 2000, so.
Well, Outlook doesn't come with Windows. It comes with Office or a separate purchase.
Yeah, I think it was, I don't know what version, but I can check that.
Yeah, it might be that you're using Office, you've got Outlook XP or 2002, and it's using different methods of encoding than the older versions of Outlook.
So typically, can I upgrade the version of Outlook that I use, and may that solve the problem?
It may be that yours is too new if you just bought it to switch and switched into it.
No, it's something that's been on my machine with the Office that I haven't used in a long time until I switched to this PDA.
You might also want to, for emails and that, though, look into a product like, say, Eudora.
Well, but he can't. Then he's going to have trouble.
Yeah, but Eudora still syncs, I believe, with most PDAs.
Are you talking about syncing your mail or syncing your calendar and that stuff?
My mail and calendar to my new Cassiopeia.
Yeah, you might
want to. Cassio PDA.
Yeah. If you're using Outlook, without getting the attachment, and it's going to, what happens, one of the things that can happen, okay, are you using Microsoft Word as your email editor?
I believe that is checked. I've been looking around in there.
Don't do that.
Okay.
And the other people should not do that. There is a service release for Microsoft Office to fix that. If you haven't updated Microsoft Office in a while, you should do that.
Okay.
Which is officeupdate.microsoft.com. That doesn't have an automatic link.
Which would explain, if he's using, say, Office 2000, say, Word, and somebody gets it and only has Word, say, 97, yes, they're not going to be able to open the attachments because Word doesn't go backwards. You can read older versions, but people with older versions can't read the newer.
Right, it's also Excel and other things that I'm having trouble with. But thank you. I will update Outlook, and I will not use
Word. And they should do it as well. The other thing that they should look at is there are three files. Is this a problem for everybody or just for some people not getting your attachments?
Except some folks.
Only the people that use Outlook Express cannot read my attachments. All the people that use Outlook can.
Yeah, try that anyway and let us know what happens.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okie doke. Thanks. Our next caller, hey, Bruce from Henrietta. Welcome, Bruce.
He's online, but he wasn't number one.
I was, but we got cut off when you guys started taking calls, and we had to get back in the queue.
Yeah.
These things happen.
Yep. What's up?
Well, first of all, Happy New Year, everybody.
Thank you.
Same to you. Very exciting.
Yes.
This is our first show of the new year, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I so lose track of time. Go ahead, Bruce.
Anyway, this happens to be probably Geek Week for many of the user groups, and we do Windows as one of them. And this month's presentation will be on using the Internet for doing a job search.
Cool.
We'll be meeting at the New Horizons Training Center, which is at 60 Corporate Woods, Suite 300, from 7 to 9. On Thursday, the 10th of January. That's in the evening, everybody, and it's open to the public. It's free. So I invite everyone who has an interest in this topic or experience to come and share, like, something they like or don't like about Monster.com or Dice or
particularly in these parlous times when so many people are, in fact, looking for jobs, this is a great presentation. So everybody listen closely. New Horizons Training Center, 60 Corporate Woods, 7 to 9 p.m. Thursday, January 10th. How to do job searches on the Internet. We do Windows.
Yes. Yes.
Great.
Well, thank you, and have a wonderful new year, everybody.
Same
Thanks.
To
you.
You
too. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton on the buttons, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Here's Nick Francesco.
Actually, right now, more than usually, you need answers to your computer questions. And we're going to talk to Steve from Penfield about that. How are you, Steve?
Good, thank you.
How's your new year so far?
Very good. How's yours?
Good, thanks. Okay, next call. Oh, no, what's your computer question?
I had two computer questions. One, like several callers last night on TV, my computer slowed down to a crawl. It takes several minutes to open up files and programs.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed two things. One, I check to see what is running, and I have WScript. There's about 7, 8, 9, 10 of those all in the window when I do a Control-Alternate-Delete.
That's a virus.
Yep.
I update twice a week. I've run scan, and it couldn't find anything.
One of the things you need to check is in your virus scanner, there's an option for all files or just program files, and you need to make sure that all files is on.
Yeah.
It may take several hours to scan your entire hard drive.
Do it at night and let it run overnight.
Okay. I've done that. What I thought it was a WScript worm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I downloaded, I'm running McAfee, but I found something at the Norton site. And I ran that program, and it said I didn't have the worm.
You might have a new variant then.
Okay.
There's an interesting new one running around that sets your system up as a mirror, a bounce site. So if I know that you're running this worm in the background, mm-hmm. and I want to go, for example, to a porn site, I bounce off of you, and then everything I download seems to be coming from you to you, not to me. So okay. If I'm downloading illegal things like child pornography, it doesn't even have to be porn. I could be downloading the anarchist's cookbook.
Or using somebody else's credit card.
It seems to come from your machine. So I would first shut down all of those W scripts.
Okay.
And then the next thing I would do is...
boot in safe mode and run the scan.
Okay, yeah. That's what I didn't do. I didn't boot in safe mode.
And boot in DOS mode if you can.
Just search everything. The problem is that if you're only checking programs, you may not be checking some of the files that could do this. In addition, it could be a website you went to. It could be something you're running like Bonzi Buddy or Comet Cursor or
Newsnet
or one of those things. There is a list of spyware that you should check out. It's on our website, soundbites.org. You can get there easily by going to wham1180.com. Going down to the lower left, clicking on our little faces. And when you get to our website, you'll see down in the lower right a box called FAQs.
Okay. And when I open up the control panel, I get a new window that I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
It says an ActiveX control on this page might be unsafe to interact with other parts of the page. Do you want to allow this interaction?
Say no. When you open up what?
Control panel.
Oh, no. That's bad. You definitely have a problem.
Yeah, you've got a virus in there somewhere that's... you know, just loading itself at boot.
And stealthy enough to get past your
protection.
Yeah,
and it's sitting there and it's faking out the rest of it. If you've got a boot disk, a clean boot disk.
I do.
You're going to want to boot with that and then run your virus scan. Now, if you said you had McAfee on there?
Yes.
McAfee, if you go and boot into the DOS mode and you get into their subdirectory, they had a program called SPM Scan. And what you could do is sit there in DOS mode, because that's how I do everybody's machine. When it comes in, we automatically scan it for viruses, and we've got it saved to a CD that we go ahead and boot, and we run this utility right off the C drive, and it scans in DOS mode, and it scans every file on the hard drive.
Okay, I'll do that. My second question is on another computer. I just bought a video capture card,
mm-hmm.
and I want to burn a CD that I can play on my DVD player of some home movies on VCR tapes,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't been able to do it.
You need to, if you're burning on CD and not DVD, you need to burn it in a special format called VCD or video CD.
That's what I'm trying to do. I tried MPEG, MPEG 1, and MPEG 2.
Well, then you need a player.
Well, yeah, right. You need the VCD format to take that MPEG 1 video and burn it properly. And then, as Nick started to say, you need a DVD player new enough to be able to understand the VCD format. Not all of them can.
Yeah, this one is supposed to. What? Evidently, my burner program won't put it into the VCD. Then, is there a program out there that you're aware of?
What program are you running?
I'm using the Power PCR. From CyberPower?
Yeah, I'm just looking up...
Well, the big one would be Easy CD Creator Deluxe. I don't remember offhand. I know Toast Titanium on the Mac can do VCDs.
Yeah, and I think Nero does them, but I'm having a little trouble...
Okay, I've heard of Nero. I'll check that out.
I'm having a little trouble getting to their website, and
Roxio.
I apologize. Roxio is the other one, R-O-X-I-O.
Yeah, Roxio does Nero. Nero and Easy Creator.
Yeah, Nero 5.5 supports DVD recording and runs under Windows XP. It's at Nero.com, N-E-R-O.
Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen.
And it's free, free, free. So there you go. Our next caller on Soundbites is John from Rochester. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hey, how you doing? Real quick question for you. Maybe one and a half quick questions. I'm about to upgrade my PC, buy a brand new one.
Mm-hmm.
Our internet service provider is AOL. We're real pleased with it. Kids love it. Do the instant chats and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Everybody tells me that AOL is garbage, shouldn't have it. If I buy a new PC, definitely don't put it on there and all this stuff. I just wanted to ask you guys' opinion on
that. There's two separate issues.
Yep.
AOL is a proprietary service unto itself.
Right.
It existed before the internet became popular.
Okay.
AOL links you to the internet.
Right.
So if you log into AOL and are using AOL's own internal features, you never touch the internet. If you try to go to a web page, then you get queued in line. We like to say you're queued in line behind 20 million other AOL users to go through their AOL internet pipeline, get the information from the internet, come back into AOL behind 20 million other users to get to you. So AOL in general is slower than straight internet.
So if you're using the features of AOL, and that doesn't include Instant Messenger because you can do that without running AOL.
I see.
If you're using the features inside AOL, then getting AOL is a good deal. If you're just using it to go to other sites on the internet, it's not the best option.
And the other thing that your folks are probably criticizing you about is because more and more folks are going to DSL or Roadrunner because there is no more dial-up. So you're not tying up your phone line or a second phone line.
Okay.
And it's just a heck of a lot faster.
And AOL,
you click and you're there.
AOL is also offering their own high-speed DSL service, independent, which probably runs through Frontier's lines anyway in town.
So basically, that's your deal.
Okay. Second question, real quick.
Better hurry. Quick.
LCD monitors. Any brands you want me to look at? And is the smaller the dot pitch, the better?
Smaller is better, and they now have 18-inch ones.
Digital is better than analog.
Your
video card will hold it.
Right.
We have to go. We're going to be back after the news and all the other cool stuff, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Hey, Ben Wright and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Is it unbelievable we are back? Before we get back to the phones, and those of you who are holding patiently on the lines, God bless you. We'll get to you in just a minute. But first we want to talk about the polls. We'll start with last week's poll. We have a poll every week at our website, soundbites.org. Last week's poll was suggested by Sam Bellotto Jr. And if you have a suggestion for a poll, please send it to us at pollideas@soundbites.org. And Sam, this is a little self-serving. Sam runs a wonderful website about a great program called Crossdown at crossdown.com. And he wanted to know what kind of games people play on their computers. We have 201 people voting. Thank you so much. Number one choice, 40% of you said games are for weenies. 29% of you said arcade-style games. 22% of you said casino and card games. And sadly for Sam, who puts out word style games only got 9% of the votes. 201 of you voted. And of course, in our forums.
There's a lot of people in denial there, though.
A lot of people in denial there. In our forums, of course, we have why this week's poll. One of the forums is why this week's poll stinks on ice. And lots of people got upset with me because I didn't have a separate category for role-playing games, which probably would have gotten like 11 billion votes. This week's poll, again at soundbites.org, is how many times has your virus detector caught a virus? And Fred Melender sent that in. Thanks, Fred. The choices that I have up here, Steve's already told me it's not enough choices. More than 5 times a week, once or twice a week, a few times a month. Never or I don't run a virus detector. So far, a few times a month is winning, followed by never. I believe those of you who said never have not actually looked at the logs from your antivirus software. It may not be telling you it found it, but it probably found it. So give us a quick vote at our website. We're already 52 people have voted.
And register.
And register for the forums. And when you register, please tell us what city you're from. Register for the forums and join us. We've got 949 messages, 382 registered users. The latest one apparently is dog lips. Thanks.
We don't ask why.
Ours not the reason why. Ours just to
answer questions.
Answer questions, which we're going to go back to here at Soundbites after Steve tells us what's going on at Macworld. Apple Cider.
Yes, as Bruce mentioned earlier, this is Geek Week, what we like to say for our users groups. If you're not a geek, you can go and meet some, or if you would like to be a geek, you can come and see what it's
like.
Geeks in the Wild. This week, Wednesday, 7 o'clock at East High School, the Apple Cider meeting will be held. We'll be talking about what does get announced at Macworld. But best of all, I am going to be demonstrating the iPod, Apple's currently latest gee whiz technology.
Ooh. So you're going to do like that commercial and shuffle around like
shuffle
that one guy on out the
yep.
door?
But we're also going to be raffling off an iPod next month. So if you can come to the meeting this week. And,
I've already got the winning ticket for it.
And in fact, just the opportunity to see Steve moonwalk, I think, is well worth going. But we're going to go back to the phones now, and we have Aline from Rochester. Welcome. Yes. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And I really appreciate your program.
Thank you.
I recently upgraded from Windows 98 to Windows SE, and I keep getting a program called RuLaunch.
Did you email me that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I've been very sick, and I saw your message, and I thought, oh, I've got to answer this, and then I went back to bed. I'm sorry. But we'll answer it now, I hope.
Yes, well, this just keeps appearing, and it states that that it's an illegal operation, and it will shut down if the program persists. And the details says it's causing an invalid page fault.
And what version, what operating system are you running?
SE, yes, I just recently upgraded.
Did you upgrade over the top of 98, or did you install it fresh?
It was a fresh install.
Okay.
RuLaunch, though, that's
RU.
RU, LAUNCH. RuLaunch.
Right. Do you have. What antivirus program are you running?
McAfee. Yeah. What you might want to do is uninstall McAfee. What version is it? 4.3?
That I'm not sure.
It sounds like it's an older version.
Well, no. When I upgraded, it's the McAfee went in at the same time.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
You need to go to McAfee's website and see what they have to say, because apparently in one of the versions that they released, there are two references in the registry.
Where you don't want to go.
To RuLaunch. And you need to remove one of them. They have explicit directions on how to do that. Let me warn you that playing around in the registry is probably not the thing you want to do on a general day-to-day basis. If you feel comfortable doing this, great, go do it. Otherwise, bring it to a reputable dealer and let them do it for you.
Okay.
But you need to remove one of the references to RuLaunch. The other thing you can do is uninstall the product entirely, download the latest version, and reinstall.
That might be the safest for you before you attempt to try to play around the registry.
So uninstall McAfee.
Yeah, go into the control panel under Add Remove Programs. You'll see McAfee listed there. Say Remove. Shut the machine down after it removes it. Restart it up and then reinstall.
The other thing you might try...
Don't reinstall the same version.
Right. Even before that, you said you're running Windows 98?
SE.
You can run MS Config.
Uh-huh.
And that, by going to the Start button, I don't want to know why I don't think of this more often. Go to the Start button, select Run, and type in all one word, MS Config, C-O-N-F-I-G. Then, from MS Config, go to the Startup tab. You'll see at least two copies of RuLaunch. RU Launch, which is Remote Update Launcher, by the way. What you want to do is uncheck one of them. Well, leave one running. However many you've got, uncheck all but one.
Okay.
And that should fix the problem. If it doesn't, you can uncheck the other one. But what that means is that now, by hand a couple of times a week, you're going to have to go in and update by hand.
Yeah, the bottom line is that there was a bug in one of the sub-versions of the McAfee installer, and they fixed that with a newer version.
Oh, okay. Well, I thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, and I'll delete that email now. Aileen, thank you so much. Our next caller is Warren from Penfield, or Pennsylvania. I can't tell which that is. Penfield, I suspect, is true. Warren, how are you? Warren?
Yeah.
Hi, Warren.
Hi. Happy New Year.
Anything to you.
I'm having trouble with my Xerox Home Center printer. Whether I print one page or 12 pages, when it gets to the halfway point on the last page, it stops, and it won't finish printing. And even when I go back and select to print the last page, it gets halfway through the page and stops. I have Windows 98 SE on the computer. This condition just started about a week ago, and the couple of days before that, I had printed a 15-page document with no problem.
What else have you changed on the machine?
Nothing, except I did, since I've had the problem, I've removed the printer and then reinstalled it and put in, went up and got Xerox's newest drivers, which is a couple of years old. But
does this happen with every program?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Whether I'm in WordPerfect or email or...
All right. What you might want to try is looking in the driver, go to the printer and select properties, and look to see if there is a checkbox for print carriage return after last page.
Oh, okay. Print carriage, okay.
What may be happening is that stuff gets left in the buffer without a correct end of file marker. It won't print that last page. It might be called, now depending on the driver you've got, it might be called Send Control D after last page. Either one of those, look to see if it's that, and that should solve the problem.
It just came up for me last week. Remember the first HP laser printers wouldn't print the page until it was full?
Right. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton on the buttons at on Soundbites at 1180 WHAM.
See Hollywood's biggest stars on the big screen at Rochester's Regal Cinemas. Regal Cinema Eastview Mall. Regal Cinema Culver at Ridge. Regal Cinema Henrietta. Stadium seating. Dolby Digital Sound. Gift certificates available anytime from the box office. Discount passes available for large groups. Stop by the concession stand. When you buy two regular-sized drinks and a large popcorn, you get candy free. Check your local listings to see what's playing and the showtimes. Then spend a night at the movies at the Rochester Regal Cinemas. You're treated like royalty at Regal Cinemas. Hi, Chet Walker here for the landmark store that served Rochester for over 100 years. That's right, since 1898, Rowe Photo Video and Audio has been carrying the finest in photo-related equipment. You know, cameras, lenses, tripods, flash units, stuff like that. Or Star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Bites, Ram and Rom. It's Doctors Nick, Dave, and Steve.
But I think we need
you
to
think
take...
they mind that I make fun of their commercial?
We need to take a look at this studio computer after the show, though.
Yeah, really.
It'll never
work again.
But first, we're going to solve Gemma's problem all the way from Buffalo. Gemma, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Gemma, you still got the 7-foot of snow around?
We still have 7 feet of snow.
Yeah. Great. God bless you, and you're welcome to it
this year.
Question
for you. How are they doing in cleaning it up?
Wonderful.
Because the only reason I asked that, I got to shuffle off to Buffalo tomorrow.
Oh, it's fine. The streets are down to bare pavement, and it's fine.
Cool.
Okay, good.
There's a storm coming in on Monday, though.
They don't care. I got to go there
woman
tomorrow.
Have her weekend. What's your problem, Gemma?
Now I'll answer your question.
I don't know anything about computers. I have a Compaq Presario that was pre-owned by somebody,
mm-hmm.
and they used it in a mall. With other computers for people to use
right. Walk
these
up
computers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now when I try to do anything, I get something called Content Advisor.
Mm. What they should have done is computers like this that are public use, school labs, things like that, they get abused terribly.
Big time.
What they should have done before they sold it to you is wipe it clean and reinstall the fresh Windows on it, which is something you might want to do now if you don't have much saved on it.
In fact, strictly interpreting Microsoft, licensing, it is illegal for them to sell you or give you that machine with the operating system on it.
Unless they give her the operating system with it.
No. I'm sorry.
You have to transfer that license.
No.
You can't transfer the license.
You cannot transfer the licenses. Read the EULA, the End User License Agreement.
Why would I want to do that? I don't need an RTFM.
The point is, Gemma, that you really do need to reinstall the operating system.
All right. I don't know how to do any of this. What do I need to do?
Your best bet is either if you're still on speaking terms with the people who gave you or sold you this computer, you should get them to do it. Otherwise, you need to take it to a reputable dealer in Buffalo and get and you know pay the $35 or $70 for a couple hours of their time and let them reinstall the operating system and your applications and do it all cleanly. There's probably an immense amount of garbage in that machine mm-hmm. that you really don't want to have to ever deal with. Who knows what else is in there, viruses, problems, things you don't want to even know about. So your best bet is to get a clean install of the operating system. If you cannot do that, you're going to have to pay somebody to do it. But the good news is it doesn't take more than a couple of hours, and it shouldn't be a problem.
It shouldn't take more than 2 hours?
No. It shouldn't, no.
The bottom line
now
is
now, when they do this, I'm going to lose any programs that are in there.
Not necessarily.
Well, you have the original discs, no.
And if you don't, that's also illegal.
Right.
I don't have the disc.
Right. Then I'm afraid what you've got one of two choices. You can live with it the way it is and keep those illegal programs. I mean, I hate to tell you this, but and keep those programs illegally, or you can have it redone the way you want, but then you're going to have to get the programs you need.
I would say the problem is the Content Advisor will not let me get on the Internet. I'm
right.
on the Internet.
Oh, wait,
Hang on.
It won't allow me to view anything.
The point of the Content Advisor, especially if this was a public computer, is to prevent people from going into naughty places.
Right.
Websites rate themselves so that the Content Advisor knows how to get there.
Gemma,
you can set the Content Advisor to be so paranoid that it won't let you get anywhere.
But there's probably a password in there, and she can't get into it because you don't know
right.
the password,
it is
right?
for the supervisor password.
Guess what?
And apparently they don't remember the supervisor.
I tell you what, I got a fix for you.
Oh, good.
You're now telling every kid in Western New York stop listening.
Gemma, if you go ahead and email me, go to wham1180.com, go down on the Soundbites icon, click on that. Go to our webpage.
Okay.
And you'll see my name there, Dave Enright, listed it under Enright PC Management. Email me and reference that we talked about this.
Uh-huh.
And I will send you a solution. It'll be a file attached with instructions on how to correct this.
Yeah, Microsoft.
Oh, man, you are going to get so much mail. Yeah. Folks, send it to Dave at soundbites.org. Do not
send it to
me.
No, they got to say they talked to me. I'm not just sending it to everybody in the sun. Gemma is one that I have spoken to. She is the only one that will get to it unless they personally speak to me.
Yeah, Microsoft will talk you through this procedure if you can prove you're the adult owner of the machine.
But they got to send you the file,
right.
but I've got
but,
the file.
But as we said earlier, you're probably going to be better off wiping the machine clean and getting rid of any garbage that's left over from being a public use machine.
And then it would just they would reinstall Windows 98.
Yeah,
right.
Which is what I have, and that would be fine.
Yep.
But start with this and see where it takes you.
Okay. Now what's your
Dave at soundbites.org.
Dave at soundbites.
.org.
Like I say, you can just go to our soundbites.org webpage, and my name's right there.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thanks.
Thanks. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave and Steve and me, Nick,
and
Rob. And we'll all be here on Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. Wow, we have a chauffeur now.
Yeah,
I didn't,
really?
I'll be
limo service?
Bob, I'll be down in the garage after the show. Come and get me. Our next caller is Sue from Rochester. Welcome, Sue. What's your question?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It's a Mac question.
Oh, well, thanks for calling.
You're welcome. No. I love my Mac.
And who wouldn't?
I know, that's right. But I'm on AOL, and the problem is I've had this Mac now for like 3 years. And when I go to AOL to ask them, you know, how to clean my files, I do it faithfully like 2-3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I throw everything in the trash. And yet when I'm on AOL, all of a sudden, boom, I get system error crash.
What version of AOL?
I can't go any higher than 5.0.
PC. But it is 5.0?
Yeah, because they don't have the Mac version. They didn't have it for 6, and they don't have it for
7.
Right,
yeah. But when was the last time you updated it?
I haven't since I put on the 5.0.
You might want to try downloading a new copy.
Oh, really?
AOL updates itself quite frequently and never tells you. Kind of like most...
stealth updates.
Yeah. A lot of companies end up doing that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. In AOL, if you go to the Apple menu, it will tell you what sub-revision you're running.
Oh, okay.
I think 19.147 is the latest.
Oh, okay.
The latest I've seen.
So that could be possibly the reason why.
That could be part of it, too, yeah.
It's scary that you know that, by the way.
But
like
I do.
Like most big folks, they got no life.
But I could understand, why am I getting these system errors, you know, and...
Are you going to web pages or inside AOL's own content?
Actually, into AOL.
Just AOL's content.
Yeah, it sounds like the update is...
Yeah. How much memory do you have allocated to AOL?
I just turned it off.
You might want to try giving it more.
Okay.
I usually like to double it.
Okay.
The suggestions that the companies give are always very conservative, so they can put, only needs 4 megs on the box. Well, it really wants 20.
Gotcha.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So give that a try as well.
All right, great. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Sue. Our next caller is Brian from Pittsburgh. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Hello?
Hi.
Yeah, I know you've heard this one before, but I've never heard an answer. When I try to play an AV file, media player opens, it says something about going to ActiveX, Microsoft Codex, and then it says unable to download appropriate decompressor.
We get that a lot.
Yeah.
There are many different codecs, which stands for compressor decompressor, to create movies. The movie you're trying to play has been created with a codec you don't have, and the Microsoft website doesn't know about yet.
Okay.
The problem is that there are about a bazillion programs, give or take a million, that can create a video. And not all of them are using the standard codecs, compressor-decompressor programs that create and then decode the programs, coders and decoders.
You get about a 50% chance that...
Right. And unless those people have made that codec publicly available, you have no chance.
Well, two things. I went to Microsoft and I found something that said media player codec setup. So I ran that. It said it added some codecs to it, and then it was saying maybe I need QuickTime, even though it wasn't a QuickTime file. So for the heck of it, I loaded QuickTime.
QuickTime adds more codecs.
Yeah, but now some of the AV files that I could play before, I can't play now.
Well, that's because they've been taken over by QuickTime.
Okay.
A newer version of a codec that it needed an old version from.
Right.
Your best bet is to go back to the person that made that AVI and ask them what codec they used.
Okay.
Or ask them to use a different one. The big goal with a codec is to make the file as small as possible, as high a quality as possible.
Okay.
So there's always new codecs coming out every day that claim to compress it just a little bit more and still keep the quality up a little bit higher.
But there's no player that'll play most of them.
Well, the problem is that, again, if it's a proprietary codec or a beta codec, then no self-respecting player is going to load it because it may not work right.
Right.
And again, you're taking a 50-50 chance, you know, that because not all of them are going to be able to handle all of them. There's
right.
Like Steve was saying that they're constantly changing and trying to do new and improved things. So this could be one of the newer, more improved ones.
Frankly, depending on what you're downloading and where you're downloading it from, it may not in fact be an AVI, but may in fact be a Trojan horse.
Something else.
One last question.
You might want to try opening Internet Explorer and having it open the AVI itself. rather than handing it off to a helper. Internet Explorer can play some video types internally with its own codecs.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that. Yeah. Is there any program I can get to convert an AVI to, say, an MPEG?
Not without the right codec.
Okay. Okay. So
you come down to the same problem. Somebody somewhere has to know how to read the file in order to do anything with it, whether it's play it or convert it.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Our next caller is Paul from Dansville. Welcome, Paul. What's your question?
Hi. I have a network internet sharing problem. We have DSL coming into the house. We're running a brand new computer that came with Windows XP on it, and it worked just fine. Last year, we'd wired our house with Cat 5 wire to be able to share it all around because we both, my better half and myself, work out of the house.
Right.
And so we put in a four-port router and did all the wiring correctly and went to configure the first computer, and it says there's a cable unplugged. And so no matter what we're doing, we can't figure this thing out. Do you have any ideas what to look
for? Cable unplugged?
Are you getting link integrity lights on your router?
Yes.
Then there is no cable unplugged.
You know, this is what we can't figure out.
Well, technically, there's four wires in the cable that it uses. If one of them is right, the light will come on.
Okay.
So the other three could still be wrong.
Right. Here's my question. When you have this problem, is it on every machine or just one specific one?
It's just this. We just went to the first one to configure it.
Now, wait a minute.
Let me back up a second.
I wanted to hear his configuration on his router.
First, have you tried plugging the machine directly into the router using a different cable?
No.
That would be my first step, because it may be that one of the cables run through the wall is bad.
Okay.
So that's the first thing to try. The second thing to try is a different computer. If the first machine works with a different cable, then the problem is the cable.
Mm-hmm.
If the first machine doesn't work, but the other machine does, then it's the configuration.
Now, is this, you said Roadrunner or DSL?
It's a DSL.
All right, now DSL. Now you've got the DSL modem coming into the WAN side of the router?
Correct.
And then all your other ports are going from there to the various computers.
Yes, that's correct. In fact, just yesterday, the technician came back and checked continuity of all the wires. So we know there's continuity anyways. But it's interesting you made that point of if there's just one wire correct, that we will get...
The continuity is right, but Ethernet uses specific wires.
Correct.
One and two are twisted, three and six are twisted.
Mm-hmm.
So if the wrong pairs are connected at the other end, it's not going to work right.
Is this a Linksys router hub?
Yes.
Now, on the Linksys router hub, so you're getting lights. Say you've got, three computers. The three lights are lit for the computers.
Well, we have just one hooked in right now.
All right. So you got one light there, and then over on where it says the WAN, and usually it's in the center of the router or off to the side, there's a light there, and do you see that it's lit there, green, and once in a while activity coming across?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's clearly either the configuration of the machine itself or the cable, and you need to narrow it down.
Or a bad hub.
Well, but if, yeah, it could be a bad hub, but again, this will help narrow it down.
Yeah. Exactly.
So the other, so you definitely need to connect in directly with a cable, and you may need to go buy that cable.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, because then you've got one cable that you know was commercially designed and could be right.
Okay.
And then plug that in and see what happens. And plug it into several different machines and see if any of them can connect.
If you go from that one computer directly to the DSL modem, does it work?
Right.
Yes, that's because we had the DSL modem hooked directly to the machine, and it was just beautiful.
So you're using the same wire...
So you know that the configuration on the machine is good?
Yes.
Could be the hub.
Could be the hub, or it could be the cable, and by plugging it directly in.
He used the cable directly into it.
How could he? It's going through the wall.
Now, yeah, that's what's different now. Am I correct in understanding that XP should really be a snap, so to speak, in terms of setting this thing up?
You should just be able to plug it in, and it'll come back and say, oh, you've got a network connection now.
That's what I thought.
So it's probably, and particularly since it was working before, I'd say it's probably the cable. Get a cable. Plug it in directly, your machine up to the router.
Who ran the wire for you?
A professional technician.
Computer guy or a phone guy?
A phone guy.
So he wired it for telephone, not for computers.
He may have miswired it.
Okay.
Try it directly, and then you may need to talk to somebody who wires Cat 5 as opposed to somebody who wires Twisted Pair for phone.
Okay.
Because it's a different configuration.
All right.
Sorry.
Very good.
He could have a setup
Thanks.
For crossover yeah. versus
exactly.
straight through.
Exactly. Yeah. Our next caller is Jay from East Rochester. Welcome, Jay. What's your question?
Hey, guys. You know, and this is probably, I know nothing about computers, okay?
but you're learning just by listening to the show.
Well, I'm trying, but, you know, a lot of it's over my head. But here's what I got to ask you. My son got this Harry Potter, we have Windows 98.
Okay.
My son got this Harry Potter Sorcerer's Stone game, CD game.
You and 20 million other kids.
Yeah. Right. He put it on about 2 days after he had it in. This started coming up when you start up the computer. It's got error start program dot capital DLL file, comma, capital D sound dot DLL not found. Required file.
Yeah. What it sounds like is when you installed the game.
Yep.
And this happens with so many games. Some people need to be slapped somewhere.
Really?
So many games install their own sets of drivers. Either for video
okay.
or for sound.
Okay.
For no discernible reason, really.
Okay.
And what happens is this overwrites the drivers that, well, we're working just fine, thank you very much.
Okay.
And sometimes that's your fault. It would say, do you want to load this driver? And people think, well, sure.
Okay.
So you did it, although it's not really your fault as such.
Okay, but, you know, it happened like 2 days later. And now he put in another game. It's called Knox. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it. But then he put that one in, and it came up the same configuration stuff. File missed, only instead of sound, it was a D draw card.
Yeah, same problem.
So, but this all happened after Harry Potter.
Yeah, the game companies think they can write the drivers better than what comes with Windows.
Okay.
Makes the game just a hair faster.
Okay.
But most of the time it ends up causing more problems.
Okay.
Right?
So what you really need to do is to go back to the original drivers that were used with your machine. Now,
or see if there's a patch up on the web for it.
Yes, that's right. First go to the Harry Potter, well, whoever made the game, go
okay.
to their website and see if there's a patch. And
okay.
the same thing for this Knox game.
Okay.
If you have those, you win. If not, then what you have to do is go back to the original sets of drivers.
Okay.
The easiest way to do that is to boot it up in safe mode.
Gotcha.
Okay. And yeah. once you're in safe mode, you can change the video drivers very easily. And, in fact, you can change the sound drivers pretty easily, too.
Yeah. And how would I do that? Do I just go...
Well, as for the video drivers, they will automatically come up in standard VGA mode with no video drivers.
Okay.
You can then just point it to the original drive. Say, open up the right-click on my computer, select properties. One of the choices will be... Hardware, no, it won't. It'll be
device
performance.
Manager.
Or device manager. Depending on what version of Windows you're running now, there's...
98
you know,
second edition.
God forbid, they should all be the same. Mm-hmm. And you'll go down to the where the video card is, right-click on that and select properties. One of the choices on one of the tabs, and I don't remember where it is to replace the driver or update the driver. There'll be a button.
Or reinstall drivers.
Reinstall drivers. Then give it the original disk that came with your machine.
Okay.
Do the same thing with the sound card. Reboot. You should be fine.
Okay. Listen, I appreciate all your help, guys.
Our pleasure.
Thank you. Your show's well worth it.
Thank you. Darn tootin'. And just for that, we're going to give ourselves a well-deserved break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave and Steve, Rob on the buttons, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. I have got to meet that guy in a dark alley.
Is there anything else that people really need to know?
That's exactly right. You don't need to know anything but the fact that we're here talking to Paul from Fairport. Welcome, Paul. What's your question?
How you doing, guys? I got a compact Presario, and the hard drive crashed on me.
Okay.
And the message I got was sector not found reading drive C.
Yep.
Ouch.
And file allocation table bad.
Yep.
Is there any hope?
Yeah, if you got the right tools.
Okay.
And how much you want to spend.
Yeah, and how much you want to spend.
Really?
There's a company called Drive Savers. that will take your drive into a clean room, Category 5 with spacesuits, open it up, look at it with an electron microscope, bit by bit, and reconstruct the data for you.
Or you can...
About $1,000 a gig?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I've also got some software that I paid close to $2,000 for.
Yep.
That we can put on the bench, and as long as you know the subdirectories in that you want to recover,
okay,
we can attempt to restore it for you.
Yeah,
but it is
no
costly.
Promises, though.
Yeah, but there's no guarantee.
You're bypassing the way the fat works and just looking at the data directly.
Yeah, and I can look at the data, in the raw form and then burn it off to a CD is what we offer for our clients.
And what would you estimate that would cost?
You're looking between, $300 and $400.
To recover the data?
Whatever we can.
Okay.
And that's usually about the time people realize how cost-effective a backup is.
Yes, exactly right.
After your first crash.
You got to get hit up the side of the head with a 2x4 first time before you realize it.
Yes, thank you.
Sorry, Paul. Our next caller is James from Ogden. Welcome. I hate to say, Paul sounded so depressed.
Yeah, I know. We sound so cold, but, it's the truth.
It's the truth. James, what's up?
I'm interested in is if I do have a worm, like that worm or a virus in my computer.
Yeah.
If I use the restore kit, does that delete the virus?
Almost always. What it does is it sort of scrapes your machine down to the metal and restores it to the day you bought it with none of your data.
Exactly.
And you've got to first turn it off and boot it with a either the CD or a write protected disk.
Right. Because the boot sector viruses and memory resident viruses can survive that.
Right, so
just a regular reinstall. Yeah.
So when I just hit the restore kit, I don't want to just put that in first?
No, you want to start your machine with the restore disk in the...
Right,
in
right.
From a cold start with the power off.
Right, mm-hmm. And what that'll do is that'll be... And anything that I have in there... Now, do a lot of these... Can you pick these up from games at the... Like, say, if my children are playing them over the Internet?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Because
what antivirus program are you running?
I'm running the McAfee.
When was the last time you updated it?
Oh, at least once a week.
Oh.
I'm using the last engine that they had.
Yeah, you should be semi-okay anyway.
Well, I had a virus. It came up. What happened was I was having trouble with my Roadrunner. They came out, and when he tried to put me back online, we thought maybe it was the dial-up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what we did is we backed everything up. And he said he kept finding programs in the background. And we couldn't understand that. We kept shutting them down. And then finally what happened was after we got back on, they left. I got one of those indicators saying that I possibly had a virus in.
Yep.
And what I did was I said remove all from all files.
Yeah.
So that should also clean that up. But now it seems to stagger every now and then.
It may be attempting to get a what may happen is that your IP address has gotten into a bunch of hackers' databases, and they're trying to reinfect you, so you're getting hit regularly.
Okay.
If you've cleaned up the virus, then you probably aren't reinfected, but your system's going to slow down as it rejects all of those attacks.
And that's probably okay, because I did everything according to...
Then you should be fine, particularly if you keep looking at what's in the background and seeing that nothing new is running.
That's what I'm doing, and I keep running the programs that... what it tells me to do, and you just walk it right through.
Yep, great.
Okay, but if I do hit that restore kit, that does reestablish it in the computer.
Right.
Thanks, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Thank you. Our next caller, Terry from Rochester. Welcome, Terry. What's your question?
Hi. Yes, when I turn on my computer, I get this sign that says, soft MIDI cannot allocate wavetable buffer. What do I do?
That's got something to do with your sound card.
Yep.
Oh.
Did you change your sound card?
No, I haven't done anything.
Have you installed any new games or that type of stuff?
Nope, I haven't installed any new games in probably about 4 months.
It could be a damaged sound card table. Your best bet is to do the same thing we suggested to somebody a little earlier, which is to start your system in safe mode.
Okay.
Go in and look at, if you were listening, you heard us tell you how to get to all of those, right-click on my computer, select properties, select device manager, go down and find your sound card, right-click on that and select properties.
Okay.
And then one of the choices would be reinstall driver.
And
reinstall the driver off the original CD that came with your sound card or floppy disk.
Okay.
Whichever it is. And that should fix the problem.
Or, in fact, download a new version of the driver from the original manufacturer of the sound card.
And update it.
Okay.
Okie doke.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks so much. Our next caller is Rob, who may not, in fact, be from anywhere.
Yeah, hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Ooh, car phone.
Yeah, cell phone working today. Hey, listen, I got a laptop I use for work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Boy, it's slow as molasses. It's a Dell 30 Inspiron 3800 with a 5-gig hard drive.
Yeah.
I put in, I'm up to about 310 megs of RAM.
Yeah.
Figuring, hoping to speed it up a little bit, a cheap fix. But what I did, I made a mistake. I took a bunch of pictures with a digital camera.
Yeah.
And I looked at them with my laptop.
Yeah.
And I, like, burned through 2 gigs on my hard drive.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I didn't save the files.
Well, you're going to have temp files, and I'm not sure you can look at the files from a digital camera without saving them somewhere on your hard drive, even if it's in the temp directory.
What program did you use to view them?
Oh, the Sony proprietary software.
There's temp files somewhere.
Temp files.
Do a
search on TMPs.
Well, it may not be a Windows temp file. It might be in the Sony directory or wherever Sony puts its own temp files.
Right. Many programs don't use the Windows temp file. They use their own.
Inside their software.
Right. If you look in the program files directory,
yeah,
you will probably find in the Sony software a subdirectory under that. And I'm afraid we got to go. I apologize, but look there. Our next show will be next week, and we want to thank all the folks we didn't get to. We apologize to them. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton for keeping us as on track as we can possibly get. I'm Nick Francesco, and we'll be back next week on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Thanks.